how's your commute going? For the last 50 years, the suburbs have been built up. They represent the greatest source of growth in the American economy. But are those communities going to be changing soon? All week long, we've been looking at communities around the United States that are going to have to change and that may potentially be changing for economic, environmental, or climate change reasons. James Howard Kunstler wrote a book called The Long Emergency, Surviving the Converging Catastrophes of the 21st Century. You can imagine a conversation with him would include a lot of jokes and chuckles. Well, we spoke to Kunstler. Kunstler is one of the thinkers who's gathering in Denver, part of our series looking at new urbanists trying to reinvent and reimagine the future as it's happening in communities like Denver. And I said, if Kunstler would look down the road in the future, what are some suggestions for Americans looking and perhaps hoping for concrete, real ways to mobilize change?
The changes that we're faced with, we're going to have to make whether we really like it or not. The future is going to compel us to behave differently in the United States. The trouble is that we've overinvested in a certain infrastructure for daily life, namely suburbia, which has no future. And it's a very big problem for us in every way. It's a problem for us in terms of money, in terms of our psychology, in terms of, you know, what we're willing to do, how we're going to marshal the will to get it done.
But abolishing the suburbs, is that going to be politically
viable?
No,
we're not talking about abolishing the suburbs. We're talking about the need for Americans to deploy themselves on the landscape differently. Look, the suburbs have a certain destiny that is going to come to pass no matter what we do, whether we like it or not. It's not a matter of, you know, one of the strange ideologies that developed in the last 10 years or so is that suburbia is great because Americans like it. You know, that's what David Brooks at the New York Times says and Bob Brueggemann at the University of Illinois. And it's just not true. You know, history has mandates of its own. And the new mandate that we face is to live differently in the United States. The living arrangement that Americans think of as normal is obsolete.
Well, speaking of mandates, the mayor of Denver, who we spoke with earlier this week, is trying to get light rail into the suburbs by marshaling some of the political will in both his city and in the outlying areas. And he wants to bring light rail, and he says it benefits people whether the stations come to their town or not. Listen to the mayor here, and I want your critique.
Our goal was to say, all right, if we get more people off their cars and into light rail, then the people that really benefit are those who are still driving in, but now, you know, get 20 or 30 extra minutes every day that they can spend either with their family or at work.
Reducing traffic jams by 20 to 30 extra minutes. Is that radical enough for you?
Well, he's obviously faced with a political problem of the existing investments that we've made in the car and all the infrastructure for it and having to navigate around it. Look, we have a railroad system at every level in this country that the Bulgarians would be ashamed of. We have to do better. And if we don't, we're not going to be going anywhere.
So the doing better part, how do we responsibly marshal political will to make radical changes without just turning politics into a wait for the tsunami kind of vigil?
Well, for example, the Obama administration, and I voted for President Obama, the Obama administration has essentially just decided to talk about and think about rail rather than do something about rail. You know, the investments that they have laid out for rail are minuscule compared to the amount of new highways that they're going to build or want to build in the next few years, and it's just plain crazy.
Well, what would it be a practical pilot project of resettlement or redesign that would begin to demonstrate the viability of some of these kinds of things that you talk about?
I think the new urbanists have already demonstrated that over the last 15, 20 years with many of the projects they've done, including the urban infill projects to revive, reactivate, and re-inhabit our existing towns, which is really where we're heading.
And if I were an investor in this new urbanism future, would I be looking for properties and neighborhoods in center cities or in suburbs?
I think that what we're going to see with cities is going to be surprising to people. Our big, big metroplex cities, I think, are going to get in as much trouble as the suburbs. I think the action will be in our smaller cities and smaller towns.
So towns like Albany.
places that are scaled appropriately to the energy diets of the future.
And one of those places would be?
Well, there are hundreds of them, you know, Dayton, Ohio, Troy, New York, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
I've lived in all those places.
The list is very long.
I must be a new urbanist. What is it about the scale of, say, Grand Rapids, Michigan that makes it ideal for trying some of these ideas?
Well, our largest cities have just attained a scale of operation that can't be carried on into the future. And, you know, a lot of this has to do with where these places are going to be located. There are some parts of the country are much more favorable than other parts. Obviously, the places like Las Vegas and Tucson and Phoenix, those places are going to get into even more trouble than Atlanta and Baltimore and Philadelphia.
And because they're far away from natural resources and the cost of sustaining growth there is going to get higher and higher as the energy gets more and more expensive. James Howard Kunstler, new urbanist and the author of The Long Emergency, Surviving the Converging Catastrophes of the 21st Century. He will be lecturing later on this week at the Congress of New Urbanism that we've been focusing on all week long in Denver, Colorado. James Kunstler, thanks so much.
You're welcome, John.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.